I'm going to look to the secretary. Secretary, do we have time or anyone ready for any of the information items? 17, excellent. Welcome.
Sorry, I don't know. Sorry. I'm here today to talk to you about a CWD project we have going for the last couple of years. And I believe we should have an additional person coming here to help out, or he should be online, Stuart. Dr. Stuart Lichtenberg. Are you? Sorry, I butchered your name. So I'll give you kind of a background of what we've been doing, and then ask Stuart to hop in with the results. And so, just kind of this is our as a department, our goals is to find CWD where present, the presence or absence across the state, and to reduce the spread of CWD as much as possible, and to keep the public informed of what CWD is, what we can do to manage it, so we can actually have a good cervid population for future generations to hunt and harvest. We've had CWD, known about CWD in the state since 2001. It's when we first detected it, and since then it's kind of spread across the state. As you can see down here in the southeastern portion of the state, we detected it down around the Sioux City area earlier this year. So in total, we have about 722 individuals that have been positive. And just to kind of give you a representation of what you can see in a year, last year, we detected about 60 individuals. That's both elk, mule deer, and white-tailed deer. And so how we're detecting this is using what's called an ELISA test. It's typically done with a deceased individual. That's either roadkill, a removed animal, or a hunter-harvested individual. And it's taking the lymph nodes of the brain stems and then running the ELISAs off of that test. There are some live tests possible using the ELISAs, which are rectal biopsies, but they can be very invasive, and you typically need a vet to do those, or at least be observed by a vet. And the ELISAs are the gold standard of what individuals are using now to be able to detect CWD. But this process can be kind of time-consuming at times. It could take anywhere from 2 weeks once you get the samples into the labs to run those. But you now have a different method to detect CWD using the RT-QuIC. It's usually detecting the CWD in smaller quantities. Researchers are using different parts of the animal right now. They're using the ears. The researchers have shown that using this method with a punch from a mule deer ear, you can actually detect the chronic wasting disease within that ear. And it just depends on exactly where you're taking the punch from in the ear. And so this is kind of the method that we're starting to use with Stuart at the University of Minnesota. And so we've been doing a kind of a pilot study to make sure of a kind of a proof of concept for using the ear punches in elk right now. So we've collected hunter harvested ears, and as well as the lymph nodes and the brain stems wherever possible, to kind of make sure that you're using the gold standard as well as this newer standard to kind of make sure everything is similar. And so we've collected those samples over the last few years, and we've sent those off to Stuart. And Stuart, if you are ready, you can take off.
Sure. So just a little bit of quick background about why we're kind of, why we wanted to do this in the first place. So as was said earlier, we and others have found that ear tissue is pretty promising for testing for CWD in deer, mule deer and white-tailed deer. However, we also know that the disease progression and where the prions that cause the disease go in elk is a little bit different. It tends to spread to their peripheral tissues a little bit less so than in deer. So we figured testing the ears is worth a shot with the elk. We'll see if it works, but we didn't really have, we really didn't know if it was going to work at all. So what we wanted to do with this was sort of do a couple of things. We wanted to sort of just initially do some proof of concept stuff, basically take the exact same protocol that we'd used in our research on deer ears and see if we could apply it to elk and get anything, any kind of detection whatsoever. And then the other thing we wanted to do was see if there's any positional effects. So where you take the sample on the ear. So did some initial testing and just a general sample of the ear tissue and then compared that back to the ELISA results that we got from these animals. So the short version of that is we had an 85.7 sensitivity rate. Now what that means is if you're detecting, correctly diagnosing a sick animal as sick. In other words, you're making the correct decision on a sick animal. And we had a 76.2 specificity rate. Now, that is correctly identifying a negative animal as negative. Now, that was 76.2%, but now the thing to keep in mind with this is comparing to the ELISA results, which are also not perfect. So we are in the process of testing the lymph nodes right now to see if we can improve any of these things, and we're also looking at other changes to these methods that we might be able to employ to improve this as well. But one of the interesting things that we did find was kind of surprising and kind of the exact opposite of what some other folks have found with the ears. If you could advance the next slide, please. What we found was that we actually have more detection, more ability to detect in the peripheral parts of the ear in elk as opposed to the center of the ear. So we tested four different punch locations. And those are known here, listed here as ventral, medial, dorsal, and lateral. And you can kind of see the relative positions on that diagram at left. So dorsal is more up towards the tip of the ear. Lateral is towards the edge of the ear, but away from the body of the animal. Medial is in that center line, but closer to the body of the animal, so closer to the head. And ventral would be a little bit off-center, down about where that number 7 is right there. So what we actually found was there was a statistically significant difference between the ventral samples, those ones right there close to the middle, and the ones around the periphery. So the periphery actually worked a little bit better. This is pretty much the exact opposite of what they found with deer. With deer, at least one study found that those center line samples tended to perform a little bit better than the center samples. So, long story short, we've managed to get RTQIP working with elk ear, which is just fantastic. Nobody else has ever done that before, so nice little feather in our cap for that one. And we're also finding some interesting differences in the spatial distribution based upon where we're taking the samples. And this is going to inform our sampling strategy in coming years. We're intending to keep taking these samples, keep investigating this process, and we'll have to make informed decisions about, you know, where best to sample when we have animals that we're wishing to analyze. And you could advance the slide, please, once more. Oh, yep, there we go. So we're also doing a few other things with this information, too. One of the big things that we're really excited about is we're doing some statistical analysis, something called a Bayesian analysis, to allow diagnostic decisions to be made based upon our RTQIP data in the absence of a gold standard. Now, this is in collaboration with Dr. Tiffany Wolf, who's a colleague of mine here at the University of Minnesota. She's our stats guru. I couldn't even begin to start to explain the process of how exactly the statistical magic will work here, but I'm assured that it is valid and will work. We're also looking at testing a couple of technologies that were developed here at the University of Minnesota as well. So the first of these is something we're calling NanoQuick, which is similar to the RT-Quick process, but we add in nanoparticles, little nanomaterials, that actually improves our detectability in low-concentration tissue. So we might be able to actually improve that sensitivity rate just by adding in these little particles. We're also looking at adapting ears for use in a thing we call MinQuick, which is an assay that uses slightly different technologies, similar but slightly different technologies from RT-Quick, but it has the advantage of not using any particularly fancy scientific equipment. Instead of needing like a fluorescent plate reader and some scientific instrumentation and whatnot to run the assay, all you need is a little, what we call a thermomixer, basically a little hot plate that shakes. It's about a tenth the cost, has the ability to be deployed in remote locations. So we're working on getting some data from that. We've got a few initial results, nothing that we really want to report on just yet, but that's sort of where we want to take the research in terms of the unknowns into the near future. And with that, I'll turn it back.
And so now that Stuart has got some proof of concept going, the plan is right now is to start in January, capturing cow elk, about 100 to 150 over these three different locations in the yellow boxes. And we're going to be taking ear samples and putting GPS transmitters on those individuals for a survival and CWD prevalence in the populations across those three areas. We're also going to be taking environmental samples and using the RT-Quick methods as well to try to find out the as the elk move around in these higher concentration areas, is there CWD prevalent in the environment more than the areas where they're not moving in more of a concentrated area? And that's all I really have for y'all today.
Fascinating. Any questions or comments? Commissioner Beese.
So how do you stop it? I mean, we can't kill our way out of it. We've already proven that because when CWD first turned out, Game and Fish went into extermination plan almost, and them areas are still losing animals, and so we can't kill our way out of it. So is there any thoughts about what a person can do to maybe contain it to certain areas, or other than what we've already done? Is there any new thoughts out there or anything like that?
Through the chair. Yes. If I knew that, I would be a millionaire right now. personally, I don't know. I know that certain states are using basically the scorched earth approach for some of those, just to remove as many as you can, as fast as you can. But I'm not quite sure of what the next steps would be, other than we need to monitor as much as possible.
Is this something? This can't be something that's new, is it? I mean, is it something that run through a cycle and a bunch of the animals die off, and then the ones might come back or are stronger or anything like that?
Well, right now we know that the CWD started around in the 60s in Colorado. They're still having problems with it, it's just as much as the rest of the country, as far as my edification toward it.
Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This has been obviously a disease I've been closely associated with my big game career as well, and you're right, we can't stop it. We can only slow it down. It's very similar to aquatic invasive species, zebra mussels. A lot of the same conversations exist. This live test, however, though, will be a big game changer in the captive cervid industry in particular. So slowing this disease down, this prion down, is our utmost priority. I mean, we know we can't stop it, but we can slow it down, hoping that it doesn't continue marching eastward. I mean, right now we have it in localized areas. within the Black Hills, within the southern Black Hills, around Wind Cave, and also on the prairie. There's some pockets of CWD, and it is slowly marching eastward. So we're trying to do everything we can to slow it down. This live animal test will help with that. And this is breaking edge technology, really. It's pretty amazing that we've come this far this quickly. And, proud of staff for discovering these types of things and doing this type of research. So,
Madam Chair, if I may add as well, not to belabor it, but so I agree perfectly with Secretary Roebling. This gives us some additional tools, and as you can see, potentially some tools we could use out in the field to more readily identify these CWD-positive individuals. And then there's a discussion to be had of how do we address that. So if we can identify those, and through this project, we'll identify some behaviors. For example, you know, in the past, we've observed elk that when we're pushing them with a helicopter, there's some elk that trail behind. And we found that some of those are CWD positive. So if we can identify things like that, that this behavior in elk is likely a CWD positive, and then address that animal, remove it, we can slow the spread, as Secretary Roebling said. And so we may never eliminate it, and it will continue to persist, but this gives us some really good tools to identify those individuals and potentially address that to reduce that prevalence and then slow the spread.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Spring.
Is there any statistics on when it is spread? I mean, does the sick critter have to be in a certain stage before it goes on, or is there anything known on that? Is it just something that's there and they're picking it out of the ground, or is it transmitted from one animal to the other? Has there been studies on that?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Spring, so yes, there's been a lot of research done on transmission and where it exists in the environment, and unfortunately the answer is like all of the above, right? Animal to animal contact, it exists in the soils. That's, as Byron indicated here, that's some of the sampling we'll be doing, soil testing to see, you know, where it's persisting in the Black Hills here, and things of that nature. So yeah, unfortunately that's what we're up against, is it seems to persist in a lot of different areas, and certainly animal to animal.
Like with the soils, you know, the Black Hills is pretty much totally different than the prairie, but yet they've been found out there, which makes me wonder if that has anything to do with it. That's why I was asking if the sick pass it to the next one or whatever. So.
Yep.
Any other questions? Looks like there are none. Fascinating. Thank you very much for bringing it to us today. Good stuff. With that, it is almost 5 o'clock Mountain Time. And we are going to end for today. We'll pick back up at 8 a.m. Mountain Time here. We've got just a handful of information items for tomorrow. So with that, we will be at recess until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time.